Let's talk about going through the balance year of 2024 and farmers making some of those crop input decisions. We're busy trying to wrap up harvest and quickly focus in on next year. Maybe start with fertilizer. What are your thoughts on where we've been and where we're going here in that fertilizer market?
Yeah, so a lot of folks actually make some of those fertilizer decisions as they're sitting in the cab of the combine, right? They recognize, okay, well, maybe I yield a little less, yield a little more, or I need to make some adjustments here, or these yields are pretty good. Maybe I can spend the money on the fertilizer. And so some of those decisions are actually being made right now while they're sitting in the combine and looking forward towards next year's crop. Fertilizer prices have softened a little bit. I think we're all waiting to see exactly the impact from last week's hurricanes, these recent hurricanes that did hit some of the potash facilities down south, phosphate facilities of Mosaic. Some of those facilities were idled ahead of the storm, but it sounds like, ports have reopened, power's been restored, and so some of these facilities are supposed to be back to full production. So actually, that's probably better than it could have been. Maybe we won't have quite the blip in that, but people are definitely going to be penciling out their cost as we head into next year with lower commodity cycle here to stay. So fertilizer is probably one of those areas that maybe producers would make sure that they're testing their soils or really evaluating the actual proper application of that because of lower commodity cycles. You can't really give up much at seed, and sometimes even with your chemicals you can't play around with as much, but fertilizer, maybe they're going to make sure they test those soils a little better and really see where they might need to apply and not apply as much.
Well, the way this harvest has gone, we're certainly going to be saving on propane costs this fall.
That is definitely a good coming in from the year. And also, too, because it's been so dry, we're probably going to see a lot of fertilizer applications this fall in some of those areas, too, because, usually when we have an early wrap-up to harvest, then that some of that fertilizer anhydrous gets put on right behind that. My dad farms in southwest Iowa, and I know that that's on his agenda every fall. If he has a good early fall wrap-up, how quick can we get that anhydrous in the fall as well?
Jackie, what's the situation from ag retailers? Do you see, what's their approach to financing? How do you see that shaking out?
They are recognizing that a lot of producers might need a little extra help with some of the input costs going forward. And so we're hearing some more extra financing programs to help customers manage this tighter cycle ahead. But we're also hearing that these retailers are somewhat surprised that there's still money out there, right? I mean, we know that the overall incomes have gone down considerably since the highs of 2022, but farmers still have money in their pockets, and so they're not getting as stretched. But those who are on that teetering fence, the retailers are stepping in and making sure that they've got some finance programs to help them with this. A lot of sales for last year's crop were still being made or have not been made. We still have crop from last year held by farmers. And so, as we go forward into the end of the year, will we see some more of those sales to help cover some of these input costs? Probably. I hear a lot of retailers who are still just kind of trying to shake it out of farmers, just telling them, it's time to unload that. The prices are not going to go much higher. So trying to get that final crop from even last year out of the producer's hand to help cover some of these costs as well.
Are you surprised with the equity position of these farmers that they still have capital that they need to consider where these commodity markets have been?
Yes and no. I think when you look at how high things went in 2022, and also too, last year's crop was a sneaky good one, right? I think nobody thought with some of the drought levels that we had, especially in the Midwest there, what kind of crop we could deliver in last year's crop. And so I think we're all getting a little surprised by that. And, you know, especially in the Midwest, we do have some producers that are still more diversified. And livestock has helped kind of counter some of the lower things that we've seen in the commodity, the crop commodity side of the net farm income equation. And so, you know, I think we are seeing a little bit more money that's still out there circulating. I do think we're going to see some pressure on farmland rents because of this too. You know, we're expecting a little bit of a softening there, and we've heard some reports of that as well. You know, whether that ranges from $20 to $60 lower cash rent, it's always harder to come back down, but we're going to need to see that because we're really probably well below break-even levels if we can't get higher yields.
Yet these land values, at least for good quality cropland, they've held strong.
You know, it's such a these last few years we've really seen a build out in the value, but that's also helped with some of these farmers who do own their land to be able to use that as collateral. So this does create maybe a wedge. I can't really call it a wedge, but there's a definite difference between those producers who are capitalized and have owning their own farmland versus maybe those younger or new beginning farmers who don't have as much owned land and haven't been able to use those high years, pay off their debt quick, and then use that as collateral going forward. So, you know, we did see a pretty, you know, big jump over the last couple of years, but the amount of the jump is less. So it was, you know, it was 5% increase over last year that we saw for land values. But before, I think it was, you know, mid 6 to 7% increases. So we're not increasing as much. I don't think we've seen a few states where we're lowering farmland values, but again, it's all location, location, location so often with farmland, and does that farm that comes up right next to yours, and what are you willing to pay, and maybe how much land do you have that you're able to use as collateral, right? So all those things factor into those farmland values.
When you talked earlier about crop input costs, have they moderated any of these commodity prices, and I guess what's the thought process for these growers? Are they taking advantage of early bookings and those kind of things?
You know, the USDA farm income forecast, forecast that the farm input cost would go down just about 1% for the year. And that's, you know, 1% is maybe helpful, but not when you look at the 10 to 20% drop that we've seen in you know, crop receipts. And so obviously our input costs are not coming down as fast as the commodity prices and what farmers are actually getting at the end of the day. And so I think, again, you know, sometimes these times really require farmers to be smarter, right? They've got to be able to really pencil things out a little bit more meticulously. And I think they're going to be looking for sales. They're going to be looking for, you know, how do I manage some of these costs too, as you look at how you close out this year and then how you would start, you know, 2025. Do you roll some of that? And a lot of that's going to depend on what kind of income they've got coming off of their yields this fall and what they see as their profits, right? Farmers do a lot of rolling forward if they need to spread out that income. But we're having a little less of that equity to maybe spread out, and that's what we've seen over the last couple of years. I think we've definitely have there's always opportunities for some of these early buy-ins, and you know, the chemical and seed companies are always looking for ways to provide those rebates and incentives to get those orders in, and a lot of that's going to continue this year, I would imagine.
Jack, you've also done some writing in the quarterly on biofuels. It seems like a lot of uncertainty right now with some of those tax incentives and those kind of things. I'm in North Dakota, and we've had some new crush facilities coming on board. What's that mean to really the profitability of those plants and the ability to weather this uncertainty?
Yeah, I was just talking with, I know North Dakota's got a brand new a plant that just opened up, and I was talking with the general manager of Minnesota Processors, which soybean processors, which owns that plant there, and you know, margins are really it is a very uncertain time right now because of this lack of guidance from the 45Z, which is the Inflation Reduction Act clean fuel production tax credit that's supposed to go into effect in 2025. And essentially what we're seeing right now, because we don't have 2025 guidance out, nobody is purchasing these oil feedstocks right now. And, you know, we're almost coming to a complete halt because nobody knows what to price biodiesel at, because we don't know that tax incentive credit value. We don't know what to price the feedstocks at. And so, and those purchases aren't being made, you know, in December. Those purchases would be being made right now for what would be later sold in January. And so they're really hoping for some guidance just to say that there's a safe harbor, basically saying, you know what, we're going to use the GREET model that we have right now, and we can adjust it retroactively later. But there's a lot of consternation right now with the soybean oil crushers who are trying to figure out how they proceed forward, and not just soy oil crushers, but, you know, biodiesel plants that use other feedstocks as well. And so that action is really, really impacting those crushers, which is going to eventually come back and impact farmers, because those crushers aren't going to be buying those beans, and those beans aren't, that's going to mean a lower value for the farmers. Now, some of these new plants, they're not going to completely shut down, but, you know, we could see some more idling of plants here in this interim as we kind of wait for things. But this election uncertainty too, we've got a couple of different problems, right? We're waiting for guidance from the current administration, and then we could have a shift in administration, or even if we do see a continuation with Harris, you know, that's a different administration too. So regardless, we're going to see some changes in personnel, and does that slow things down, and the timing, and There is waves of uncertainty for the biofuels industry when it comes to how to manage this 45Z and the buying of feedstocks, and in the end, what kind of value goes back to the farmers.
Have some of those plants idled already?
So we did see, you know, our NOPA values out yesterday, which is the National Oilseed Processors. September crush numbers were up from August, and nobody's idling yet, but they're looking to maybe slow. And really, those plants that are probably more likely to idle first would be those ones in the southeast or the east that would not have the amount of supply of feedstocks like soybeans to process quickly, like you would in the Midwest, right, or where you're at there in the upper Midwest, because plentiful supplies, right? Soybeans right now, you want to be able to grind, especially with everything coming off of the combines. And we saw August was basically, you know, kind of prepping for this fall, but, you know, we could see shutdowns in January and even longer if we didn't see that guidance right away.
What's the status of the ethanol plants then?
So, you know, ethanol plants are doing well, and I would say they're really kind of building off of very strong export demand. You know, we're seeing a little bit higher increases in domestic blending, but we're not seeing huge surges. But you and I have been watching this ethanol industry for years. We know that there was always this threat of the 10% blending wall, right? Well, we're a little bit above 10% right now, about 10.5%. And we're projecting to go higher. You know, ethanol has been able to manage the current demand structure pretty well. And, you know, even corn prices don't necessarily drive ethanol margins, but, you know, we've had lower natural gas prices, and because of the current overall ethanol, overall gasoline use, we've continued to have good ethanol demand. As we come out of the summer months, right, we have good amount of gasoline use, which ends up also meaning ethanol use as well. And we're seeing little bits of higher blending from E15, but, you know, again, we've got to have higher amounts of that to really push that way above that 10% wall right now.